Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere. I hope everybody is well. We'll be Shabbos Mevarchim Adar Be'ezer Hashem, going very quickly through the calendar year. So let us get into our learning. I'm actually going to begin with a piece of Rav Salvechik, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, on Yosef and his brothers. Okay? Let us talk a little bit about Yosef and his brothers, and that will lead us into the topic of the Shir. I quote from the Sefer Vision and Leadership, Essays of the Rav on Yosef and Moshe, actually. Okay? So when it comes to Yosef and the brothers, we know that there was conflict between them. Shouldn't take me long to drink this. The Kabbalah and the Agadah, says Rabbi Salvechik, interpret the conflict between Yosef and his brothers. There was a conflict between Yosef and his brothers. So Kabbalah and Agadah interpret, what is the source of the conflict between Yosef and his brothers? A collision of values. Collision of values, of moral purpose. Their very personalities were incongruous. They saw things differently. The brothers were a pastor of society. They were shepherds. They were content. It was fine. Yosef dreamed of much bigger things. He dreamed of rulership. He dreamed of a different way of life. The division between the brothers, says the Rav, was so sharp, the whole experience of brotherly love vanished. So sad, it's so tragic, it's so unfortunate that when brothers have different values, they become so deeply ingrained that the whole feeling of brotherly love actually vanished. If such a clash, says the Rav, develops among strangers, if a clash of values develops among strangers, it may cause tension. And that tension can result in politeness, in courtesy, but not hatred. It's between strangers, so you have a difference in values. It results in stiff politeness, in courtesy, but not hatred. But if this kind of conflict involves brothers, it engenders animosity and sometimes hate. Which really, here he's talking about one family, but I think it also answers a lot of questions regarding sinas chinam. Since all of Israel are brothers, and all of Israel are guarantors for one another, and we see ourselves as brothers and sisters of all of Israel, so when there is such a deep axiomatic divide, when there is such a collision of values amongst Knesset Yisrael, the Rav says it will lead to hatred and animosity. Apparently, amongst brothers, says the Rav, there are two alternatives, love and hate, which is true not only in a family, but which is true on the national level. There's either ahavas chinam, and you love every Jew, or rachmana litzlan. There's the other way, sinas chinam, and it leads to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There is no middle ground. You either love other Jews because you see everyone as your brother, and you learn to look past the differences in value, or rachmana litzlan the other way. There is, says the Rav, no intermediate stage. This is exactly what happened between Joseph and the brothers. In my opinion, however, the Rav says, the mistake of the brothers was not jealousy. Even though the Pasuk says, Vayikanu bo echav, the brothers had jealousy, the Rav says, in my opinion, that wasn't the mistake of the brothers. Rather, it was the lack of appreciation, and the topic of today's shir is Hakaras HaTov. It was the lack of appreciation of one of the most precious gifts the Almighty has granted human beings. Lack of appreciation. The Hakira HaTov is to recognize and thereby appreciate the good. And if we are not Makir Tov, then we do not appreciate, and therefore we do not recognize the good. If we don't recognize, we don't appreciate. If we don't appreciate, we don't recognize. And the Rav says, what was the root cause of the mistake of the brothers? It was not the jealousy, it was not the hatred, it was not the ksonis pasim. It was a lack of appreciation of one of the most precious gifts the Almighty has granted human beings. The sense of unity that members of a family feel for each other. A manifold ontological experience that expresses itself in love and devotion. A family members should feel themselves united. They have a sense of common purpose, a sense of destiny. This is true of an immediate family, and it's also true of Klal Yisrael. We should see ourselves as united because we are one family. Neither Joseph nor the brothers appreciated this gift, this great gift. Because they didn't recognize the gift, they couldn't appreciate the gift. And that's really when one is kafui tav, when we deny the good, it's simply because we are not appreciating or recognizing what we have. And therefore, we reject what we have because we think we don't have it. That's exactly what happened with Joseph and the brothers. They didn't recognize it. They thought it did not exist, and therefore it was taken away from them. They showed a lack of understanding, says the Rav, of the beautiful experience which the psalmist so beautifully describes. Hinei matov umanayim shavas achim gam yachad. How goodly and how pleasant when brothers sit together. It is the joy and experience of being together as a family, parents and siblings. I think of this during Yizkor, says the Rav, when those who have living parents leave the synagogue, and I am filled with envy. But I also regret that many do not appreciate their parents while they still have them. Had Joseph's brothers understood this, Jewish history would have taken on different dimensions. And our historical experience would be a different one. Everything that happened with Joseph and the brothers is a foreshadowing. The whole Sefer Bereishis is Kol Mashiyir La'avosim Lebanim, is a foreshadowing of the national exile in Churban Bayis Shedi. Everything that happened between Joseph and the brothers, the Lashon Hara, the Gemara says in Yuma Tes Amud Beis, Darku et Zedza Becharvot Shabilashonam, they spoke Lashon Hara, they spoke Lashon Hara. They had Sina, they had Sina. They couldn't get along, they couldn't get along. The brothers and Joseph were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael was kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. If we do not appreciate and recognize what we have, then the Rebbe Shalom Rachman al-Tzad says, you don't want it, you don't appreciate it, I will take it away from you. It's true in the Chumash time and again. The Knesset Yisrael, Am Yisrael, did not appreciate Eretz Yisrael. They didn't recognize the good of the land. Only Kalev and Yehoshua said, Tovah ha'aretz me'od mod, ha'karat ha'tov. Only Yehoshua and Kalev saw the good, recognized the good. So Hashem said to the rest of the nation, you don't like it, you don't appreciate it, no problem. You won't go in. You don't want to be brothers, you don't appreciate brotherhood, no problem. It will be taken away from you. Quote, gratitude is a basic virtue in Judaism. Gratitude is a basic virtue in Judaism, and whoever proves to be an ingrate is punished. Gratitude is a basic virtue in Judaism, and whoever proves to be an ingrate is punished. Indeed, the punishment here was that the gift of unity was taken away from those who failed to appreciate it. Ironically, the punishment is what they wanted, but they got what they wanted. Just like the nation did not want to go into the land, they were ingrates. So what was taken away from them? What they failed to appreciate. The sons of Jacob were very unhappy. They envied Joseph. He had a multicolored coat. Each one thought he would have been the happiest person in the world if father had given him a multicolored coat instead. They obsessed over this nonsensical thought without appreciating the real happiness of being together as 12 brothers. Once again, the Rav is focusing on appreciation, gratitude, ingrate, appreciating the great gift. They obsessed over this nonsensical thought without appreciating the real gift, which is 12 brothers together. So they lost him. They did not appreciate each other. They did not bestow love and devotion upon one another. They were hostile to each other. There was a treasure within their reach, and they didn't appreciate this treasure. Thus, Joseph was taken away from his brothers. Of course, the very moment the brothers lost him, the very moment they realized their horrible, tragic mistake that had been committed, the very moment the Bedouins that took Joseph disappeared over the horizon, they regretted their deed. Suddenly, they became aware of the exalted purpose of the brotherly experience. Karas HaTov is such a basic foundation, not only of Am Yisrael, which is the hallmark of our people, but since the time of the creation of the world, no blessing comes down to the world without the Midah of Karas HaTov. When is the first time we see the appearance of this Midah, which is necessary for the world to function normally as it does? So the Pasuk tells us all the way back in Sefer Bereishis, by Maaseh Bereishis, Perek Beis Pasuk Hei, V'chol Siach Hasada Terem Yeba'aretz, V'chol Esav Hasada Terem Yetzmach, Ki Lo Himtir Hashem Elokim, V'Adam Ayin L'Avod Et Adama. The Pasuk tells us that all herbage of the field had not sprouted, and all grasses had not grown, because God had not brought rain, because there was no man to work the field. So what's the connection between all these parts of the pasuk? Kol esav hasada lo yit, v'chol siach hasada term yitzmach, v'chol esav hasada. So what's the connection between the grass is not growing, God not bringing rain, and no man to work the earth? So Rashi introduces us to this idea of hakaras hatov, all the way back by the creation of Adam HaRishon. So that means it's necessary for humanity, and it's even more necessary for Am Yisrael. Ki lo himtir. So Rashi says, umatam lo himtir. This is Rashi to Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Hey. Umatam lo himtir. What is the reason? So the verse tells us that nothing was growing because there was no rain, because there was no man to work the field. So how do we understand all the parts, the sequence of this verse? How does everything connect? Like, in other words, things weren't growing because there was no rain, but what does that have to do with man? God can make rain. Whenever he wants, he could make rain. Umatam lo himtir. What is the reason it had not rained? Lafisha adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama. Because there was no man to work the field, the ein makir b'tovatam shel geshamim. There was no one to work the field. The ein makir b'tovatam, makir hatov. And there is no one to recognize the goodness of rain. So there is no purpose for the rain if there is no one to recognize the good. God sends gifts when we recognize what we have, when we appreciate those gifts. So Hashem bestows a present. You don't appreciate the gift of brotherhood? Okay, it'll be taken away from you. You don't appreciate the gift of Eretz Yisrael? No problem. You'll live in Chutz La'aretz. Hashem sends gifts when there are people who appreciate those matanos. So since there was Adam Ayin La'avod et Adama, since there was no man to work the earth, the Ein Makir B'tovatam Shel Geshamim, there was no one to appreciate the rain, so God didn't bring rain. Ukeshaba Adam, and when Adam came, V'yada Shehem Tzorech La'olam, and Adam knew that rain was a necessity for the earth, then Hitpalal Aleihem, he prayed, V'yardu, and the rains came down. That's what Rashi says. So that means that in order for there to be Shafa Bracha, for everything to come down, there has to be someone who appreciates what God is giving us. And when we appreciate what the Ribbono Shel Olam bestows upon us, and Hashem sends more. Rain is a wonderful bracha. The root word of Gashmis is Geshem. We find it inconvenient in Chutz La'aretz, but the proper approach is the Torah approach, that rain is the ultimate bracha. So therefore, the Ein Makir B'Tovatam Shel Geshamim. The first time you see this idea of a Karsa Tov is all the way by Maisa Bereishis. The Yada Shehim Tzorech La'olam. And Adam understood that rain was a necessity for the world. Then God sends down his Shefer Bracha. And it's so integral to who we are as a nation and as a people to always appreciate the good that is done for us by the Ribbono Shel Olam, first and foremost, and by those with whom we share our lives. Gratitude, says the Rav, I read this to you already, is a basic virtue in Judaism. And whoever proves to be an ingrate is punished. The punishment in the case of the brothers was that the unity was taken away from them. They failed to appreciate it. The sons of Jacob were very unhappy. They envied Joseph and his multicolored coat. Each one thought, if only Father had given me a multicolored coat, I would be the happiest person in the world. They obsessed over this nonsensical thought without appreciating the real happiness. 12 brothers being together. So they lost him. They didn't appreciate each other. They did not. I'm not just trying to say the word appreciate. It's here constantly in this essay. They did not appreciate each other. They did not bestow love and devotion upon each other. They were hostile. There was a treasure within their reach. And they did not appreciate the treasure. How many treasures does Hashem send our way? And we too tend to focus on what we lack instead of what we have. Adam had the treasure of Gan Eden, but he focused on what he didn't have, the Eitz Hadas, instead of what he did have. The brothers focused on what they didn't have, a Ksonas Pasim, instead of what they did have. The Meraglim focused on what they didn't have, the flesh pots of Egypt, instead of the gift of the Eretz Chemda, Tovu Rechava, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. When did the brothers regret? When did the Jews in the desert regret? after it's taken away. God said, you're not going, and they said, oh, wait, we're going. Brotherhood involves a common past, says the Rav, and common memories. I remember when I was 7 or 8 years old, I saved up money to buy ice cream. This was a tree from paradise because we were very poor. And I shared it with my brother. This is a memory that unites me with my brother. It did not unite me with my sister, nor with my youngest brother. And there are hundreds of memories like that. The common past is a tremendous bond. But the fraternal experience involves not only the past and memories of the past, but also a common future, a common destiny. This is such a beautiful piece, not only in regard to every family as a unit, but really in regard to Knesset Yisrael. We must see ourselves and appreciate Lahakir et Hatov shel Am Yisrael. Appreciate the goodness of what we have, a common past and also a common future. Sometimes I marvel if we think when we separate ourselves from the cloud, they will like us more. It doesn't work. The only thing that works is to stay with the cloud, to understand where we belong, to understand who we have and who will always be there for us. We have to dig into the recesses of our awareness, says the Rav, in order to discover the element of common destiny. As Jews, we have a living memory which spans millennia. And we must have an awareness of our common destiny. The past is real. The future is also real. And since Jews are brothers, all Jews are brothers, that is what unites us, the common past and the common future. And if the brothers did not appreciate Joseph, he was taken away from them. And if the Jews did not appreciate the good land, so God said, you won't go there. And if Adam did not appreciate, I'm going totally out of chronological order, and if Adam did not appreciate Gan Eden and the gift, then it was taken away from them. And then many millennia later, centuries, if we did not appreciate the gift of the Jewish Commonwealth in the Second Temple period, and each other, then that too is taken away. And sometimes it seems that it's human nature to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. Why did I choose this topic of Hakar Satov specifically today? There's a lot of lessons we could talk about and learn about. But in this week's parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, there are a myriad of mitzvos. I believe 53 mitzvos de'oraisa, many, many more derabanan. And the Torah goes through many different topics. Don't curse your mother and father. Don't hit your mother and father. What if you have an ox that gores? What if a thief tunnels into your house? Midvar sheker tirchak. Don't oppress the convert, the widow, or the orphan. Don't take interest. The doctor has permission to heal. There are so many. There are so keep Shabbos, the Shalosh Regalim in this week's Parsha, Shemitah is mentioned in this week's Parsha. There are so, so many mitzvahs. Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani. There are so many mitzvahs in this week's Parsha. But the Pasuk tells us in Shemos Chof Beis Lamed, the last Pasuk of Parshas, of Perak Chof Beis, Mishpatim is made of Chof Aleph, Chof Beis, Chof Gimel, and Chof Dalet. Chof Aleph, Chof Beis, and Chof Gimel are all of these mitzvahs. And then Chof Dalet resumes the narrative at Har Sinai. So the Pasuk tells us in Perak Chof Beis, Pasuk Lamed, Va'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, men of holiness you shall be to me, U'basar Besada Trefa Lo Socheilu, and torn meat in the field you shall not eat, La'kalav Tashlichun Oso. You should throw it to the dogs. It was so funny. This morning on the treadmill, I'm going through a series of animal babies, a nature documentary, wild babies. It's mamish amazing. Marbu Masecha Hashem Kulam Bechachma Sisa Malarz Kinanecha. It's just incredible. So I think I'm up to the fourth episode because they're short. So every treadmill takes me like 1.5 episodes, almost 2 episodes. And the fourth or fifth, and this morning I was smiling because this morning it was about wild dogs. And no, I'm not joking. And I was showing them going on their hunt to eat the meat for the kill. So I thought, here you go. You see, the dogs are meat eaters. The calf tashlichono. So if you have extra meat in the field, throw it to the dogs. So first of all, just a clarification on this pasuk. Treifa means meat that has been torn. It doesn't mean when we say treif, McDonald's is not treif. Another mitzvah in this week's parsha is lo savashel gadi b'chev imo. We can't mix milk and meat. There are many laws that govern ma'achalos asuras and ma'achalos mutaras. So lo savashel gadi b'chev imo is talking about kosher milk and kosher meat. Okay, so you can't cook your meatballs in whole milk. Both items are kosher. The milk is kosher, it could even be chal v'shal. And the meat is glad kosher, but you can't cook it together. This week's parsha. Then we have ma'achalos asuros, right? A hare, H-A-R-E. Pork, eagle, I don't know, whoever would want to eat those. Frog, those are not really treif. They're ma'achalos asuros. Treifus is another category, torn meat. So the cow is perfectly kosher, the sheep is perfectly kosher, the goat is perfectly kosher, but a wolf or a lion came across this animal and mauled and tore the animal. Now there's some leftover meat. Can you use this leftover meat? And the answer is no, because it wasn't shechted properly. So there are many other things besides for don't eat not kosher, which we call not kosher, meaning ma'achos asuras or ma'achos mutaras. Hare, camel, pork, eagle, whatever, I don't know, eel, okay, scallops, those are ma'achos asuros. Then there's lo savasha gadi b'chev imo, three times in the Torah, one of them in Mishpatim, one of them in Kitisa, Perek Lamedal. You can't cook it, you can't cook it, you can't eat it, you can't have benefit from it. And then there's treifus. So treifus is, you're not mixing milk and meat, and it's not ma'achalos asuros in terms of forbidden animals, but it has been torn to shreds. And the pasuk says that an animal that has been mauled in the field and therefore not shechted properly, you may not eat. Where do we have treifus previously? Funny how we started the shiur. Where do we have treifus? Tarof, hakernak, tonus bincha hiyumo. Do you recognize the cloak? Is it the cloak of your son or not? Tarof, taraf bini, chaya ra achlasuhu. My son, Yosef, has been torn to shreds. A wild animal devoured him. So this idea of treifus is an animal that's torn. So the pasuk tells us, Anshei Kodesh to you and Lee, men of holiness you shall be to me, Ubasar Basada Treifa, and meat that has been torn in the field, Lo so chelu, you may not eat. What should you do with it? La kalav tashlichun osa. What should you do with this meat? You should throw it to the dogs. Amish, I was watching, it's funny because I think I'm in the fifth episode, and until now there haven't been dogs yet. It was only this morning. I'm going through many different, it's so beautiful. Hashem's works are just unbelievably beautiful. So incredible. This morning they had dogs. So when the pack went out to hunt, they left one of the older cousins in charge of the 10-week-old pups. And the pack goes out to hunt, and then it shows how they grow older and they have to go find their own meat. Amazing. So dogs enjoy eating meat. So you should throw it to the dog. So Rashi says, why do you throw it to the dogs? So a very, very famous Rashi tells us, V'limdecha ha-kasuv. The Torah comes to teach you. She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikha peyach schar kol bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold back the reward from any animal, from any creation. Why? She'ne'emar, because the pasuk says by the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim in Perek Aleph of Parshas Bo, L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yachatz kelev l'shono. Many of us say this when we see a scary dog. L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yachatz kelev l'shono. Against the entire children of Israel, the dogs did not sharpen their tongues. Now, it seems like not such a big deal, you know, like, who cares? The dogs didn't bark on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But when we think of a more recent time of Avodas Parach and Vayimaru Aschayim, dogs are often used by the enemy against Klal Yisrael. Rav Lau, in his Sefer book, / Lot to Learn Sefer, Rav Lau in Out of the Depths says, when he thinks of the Holocaust, three images come to mind. Trains, boots, and dogs. Because the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, had these perfectly polished, beautiful, high, leather black boots. So when I think of the Holocaust, three images come to mind. Trains, boots, and dogs. So when we say the Chol B'nei Yisrael, L'echotz Kev L'shono, we don't really pay too much attention. The dogs did not set themselves upon Am Yisrael on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's a tremendous tova. Dogs throughout our history are often not kind when they are employed by the enemy to destroy, to kill, to maul, to torture Am Yisrael. So the dogs on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim did not sharpen their tongue. Therefore, what should he do with the meat? Throw it to the dogs. Just a side point, one of my favorite Divrei Torah on this pasuk. I have a lot of favorite Divrei Torah on this pasuk. It's just one pasuk. But someone once told me this vart in the name of Rav Asher Arieli, from the Mir Yeshiva Shlita, who has the largest shir in the world, they say, why don't you throw the meat to the frogs? I don't know if frogs eat meat or not, but it's a shkafik vor. Let's not get too scientific. Why don't you throw it to the frogs? The dogs didn't bark or sharpen their tongue, but the frogs were actually most or nefesh to jump in the ovens. Hanyana, Mishael, and Daniel learned from the frogs. If they could jump into the ovens, Rashi tells us by the second Maka, then we also have to be Moser Nefesh. The frogs jumped into the ovens. Ubatanu Rechem. Forget the bodies of the Egyptians. Forget the beds of the Egyptians. Forget the kneading bowls of the Egyptians. They dumped into the furnace of the Egyptians to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem. So Asher Arieli says, sometimes, so why do you throw to the dogs who held their tongues and not the frogs who jumped into the oven? So Rav Asher Arieli says, sometimes it's easier to jump into a fiery furnace than to hold your tongue. I've told it over many, many times, and it is very, very impactful. Sometimes it's harder to not say something that you know you shouldn't say. Intrusive comments, mockery, lashon hara, rechilos, ka'as, leitzanos, Gaiva onas dvarim. Sometimes it's easier to jump into a fiery furnace than to hold your tongue. That's not the point of the shiur for today, but if you remember that lesson, it was Dayenu that you came here. So going back to what we're speaking about, this idea of Hakaras HaTov. So Rashi says, why do you throw to the dogs? Because, like we just said, why? Because the dogs didn't sharpen their tongue, they didn't attack the Yidden on the night they were Yidden yet, the Israelites on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Amar Kosh Baruch Hu Tnu Lascharo. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, give the dog its reward. Okay, again, the Rashi without interruption. Another nekuda on this pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk. I once heard, probably a number of years ago, Rabbi Shai Shachter quote the Kotzker Rebbe. The great Kotzker Rebbe says on the beginning of the pasuk, "Va'anshei kodesh tiyuli." What does it mean? Hashem knows we're human beings. He wants us to strive as best as possible to be holy people. He knows we're not malachim. He doesn't expect us to be angelic. God understands that we have strivings and we have vicissitudes in life and we have a yetzer hara and we have nisyonos. Anshei doesn't just say kedoshim to you like it does in Vayikra. Kadosh tiyuli. Anshei kodesh tiyuli. Hashem wants us to be holy people. And he understands that sometimes we're going to make mistakes. I'm not advising to go make mistakes. But sometimes it happens. We have to be the best person we could be. Not an angel, a person. Okay, so that's Anshei kodesh tiyuli from the Kotzker. Why to the dogs? Rav Asher Arieli, a lesson in Shmiras HaLashon. Now let's go to the Das Zakein Mibalei Tosfos. The Das Zakein Mibalei Tosfos says a little bit differently. Ubasar basada trefa lo sochelu. You are not allowed to eat torn meat, which we already defined what's torn, and throw to the dogs. Why do you throw to the dogs? So Rashi told us. The Das Zakein gives a different shot. Which dogs should you throw to? Should you go to your neighbor and find their dog and say, I have torn meat and I can't eat it? So I want to share it with you. You knock on the door and they have a beautiful golden retriever. I don't know if golden retrievers would even eat torn meat. They're probably bred to be puppies and home dogs and family dogs, and they probably eat what you buy in Costco in very large packs. What dog should you give this meat to? Should you go to the airport or Penn Station and find the on-duty officers with K-9 dogs and, you know, bomb-sniffing dogs and say, oh, wow, I've torn meat, I can't use it, let me give it to your dog? Which dogs are we speaking about? So the Das HaKain Mibala Tosfo says as follows. May Acha Shahakalov Masar Nafsho Al HaTrifa. Because the dog was Moser Nefesh, he was willing to give up his life for this animal that he was watching, for this torn meat. So he's talking about sheepdogs, herding dogs. Even today you have a breed called sheepdogs. And traditionally, what did they do? They did jobs. You know, dogs are very, very intelligent animals. They are bomb-sniffing dogs. They are drug-sniffing dogs. They are search-and-rescue dogs. They are seeing-eye dogs. They're assistive alerting dogs. They're sheep dogs. They're extremely bright animals. They can be trained one of two ways. So we're talking about dogs that guard the flock. Sheep dogs. So now let's go back to the Das HaKain. Me'achar she'akav masar nafsho al ha'trifa, kishaba ha'ze'ev l'tarfo. This sheepdog, who's Moser Nefesh, he gave up his life. He stood up against the wolf that came to maul the sheep. Lo tia kafui tova. Do not be an ingrate. Do not deny the good. Do not be an ingrate. Lo tia kafui tova. Kafui tova is the opposite of a karsa tov. What were the words of the Rav? Gratitude is a basic virtue in Judaism, and whoever proves to be an ingrate is punished. You should not be an ingrate to your dog. Dog, D-O-G. This is how far Hakar Satov takes us. May Achasha Kalav Masar Nafsho Ala Trefa, Kishabaha Ze'ev Latarfa, because the sheepdog was Moser Nefesh for this animal, when the wolf came, when the lion came, when the hyena came to maul the animal, lo tia kafui tova. Zadasa came to Shemos 22:30. Do not be an ingrate, kenegdo. Lo tia kafui tov kenegdo. Don't be a kafui tov to this animal. Kishayia lecha trefa. When you have torn meat, shetashlichu elav. Who should you give it to? The sheepdog. Why? Bishar. It's his reward. He's a shomer chinam, shomer sachir in this case. Make him a shomer sachir. Pay him back. Reward him. He is the shomer for your animals. Give him schar, shomer sachir. Give him something. He works so hard. How could you be an ingrate? Give him a bonus. Give him a tip. By end of the year, bonus. Bischar shashamra ad ata shalona trefa. Why should you give him his reward? Because in the merit, as a reward, that until now, none of your animals were torn. Shashamra ad ata with an ayin shalonitrifa, because as a reward that he guarded until now that none of your sheep, none of your flock should be torn apart. V'gam shomer od ha'acherot, and you know what? He's going to keep doing the job. So if you reward him, there'll be a financial incentive. He gets a good stake. He's going to watch your sheep in the future also. Ki kein darach ha'olam. This is the way of the world. L'ha'amid kilavim, to put up dogs, lishmar hatson, to guard the sheep, min hazaivim. Beautiful Das HaKain. We have to have a karsa tov to what? Sheep. Moshe was not dogs. Moshe was not allowed to strike the Nilus River to bring blood. Why not? Because he had to have a karsa tov to the river because it saved him when his mother put him in. Vatasem basuf, she puts him in the reeds. Asfasa yar, so therefore he can strike the river. So he can't do dam, he can't do tzvardeya. What else can he do? Kinim, why not? He can't do kinim because kinim is striking the sand of Egypt to turn it into lice. He can't strike the sand. Why? Because the sand, vayitzmeneo b'chol, what does he do when he sees the Egyptian beating? Ma ki'ish ivri me'acha, vayifen kol v'kol, vayar ki'enish, vayachas ha'mitzri, vayitzmeneo b'chol. So if the sand took the Egyptian, if he hid the Egyptian in the sand, how could he strike something that saved him? So you see from the Torah that you have to have hakar satov to inanimate objects. Water, sand, in this case, a dog. It's even interesting, I just thought something I never thought of before. Yes, they have a Kosher Tov to the sand, but in the end, the secret got out anyway. Pyro finds out what he did, and that's why Pyro wants to kill him. But he still has to have a Kosher Tov to the sand. Why didn't rain come down? Lefi she'ein Adam lahakir b'tovatan shel geshamim. If there's no one who has a Kosher Tov, there is no blessing in the world. You have to have a Kosher Tov to the sheepdog who watched your flocks. So when you have torn meat, instead of going and throwing it in the garbage, instead of, I don't know, giving it to some, your help that's not Jewish, the Eved Kanani, so what should you do? You should give it to the dog. I'm going to repeat the Das Kanim again without interrupting him, now that we translated and commented it. And then I'm going to ask a kasha on the Das Kanim. May achar shahakelev masar nafsho al hatrefa, kishaba hazeev latarfo, lo tia kafui tova, kenegdo, kishiyelacha trefa, shatashlicheu elav, bischar shashamra ad ata shalona trefa, vegam shomer odha acheros, kikain daracha olam, laha amir kilavim lishmar hatson minhazeevim. Rabbi Zev left Shlita. Ask a very important question on this Das Kanim, which maybe you're asking in your head. What's the problem with this Das Kanim in Bali Tosfos? The only reason you have an animal that became trefa is because the sheepdog didn't do his job. Yeah. Maybe he was asleep. Maybe he was checking Facebook. Maybe he was sending an email. Maybe he was listening to a podcast. And you're doing any of one of those things, you're not paying attention to anyone or anything around you. So he didn't hear the lion approach with stealth and tear apart the sheep. So he wasn't doing his job. So the Das Kanim says you should reward him because you shouldn't be a kafui tov. Maybe you should fire him. Let him go fend for himself and go get a different dog who will do the dog job better. Find resumes, conduct interviews, and find a dog that doesn't use a cell phone during work hours. Why should you give him his reward? What are you rewarding him for? Not doing his job? The only reason there's a trefa is because the sheepdog wasn't watching the flock. I'm going to tell you a story. We have a family minhag. Not really a minhag, but I guess it is, yeah. Our family minhag. That at every child's Hebrew birthday, we have a cake that Shabbos, that Friday night. It's not a surprise anymore. Everybody knows. But we still do it. It's whatever we do it. I don't know if it makes the parents feel good or the kids feel good. But everyone's used to it and we know. The week of their birthday, we have a cake that Friday night. So one time over the course of this past year, I forgot for one of the children. It happens. I don't know how. I'm not sure why. I forgot. So we didn't have a cake. So a few months later, we had another birthday in the family. And that child brought up again that we didn't have a cake. So I told over this Das Kanim. And I said, Rabbi Zavlev asks on the Das Kanim, why are you rewarding the sheep? He failed. Why are you rewarding the sheep dog? He failed, and therefore the sheep was torn to shreds. So you should fire him, not reward him. Rabbi Zevlev Shlita answers as follows. Every other time, the dog did his job. One time, he made a mistake. And I can't use the expression, he's a human being. But I could use the expression, he's a dog. And people sometimes make mistakes. You're rewarding him not for the mistake, but for the 99 other times he got it right. And maybe now we can connect the beginning of the pasuk, the word of the Kotzker, and Shei Kodesh Tiyundli, with the second half of the pasuk, and the Das Kanim, and the Kasha, and the Teirutz of Rabbi Zavlev. Remember I told you the Kotzker says, and Shei Kodesh Tiyundli, God expects us to be people, holy people, but people. He knows we're not Malachim. A Malach never makes a mistake, because it doesn't have Bechir Chavshi, so there's no problem. It's very easy to be a malach, actually. You just do whatever God said without any kasha. Maybe we could connect these two vartlach now. Anshe Kodesh Tiyunli, be holy people. Sometimes you're going to make a mistake. So why do you reward the dog? You're not rewarding him for this treifa. You're rewarding him for every other time he did it right. So I said to my children, every single year there's a cake. One time I forget. One time. We have to be willing to overlook the mistakes that people make. You have a big shayla. It was chas v'shalom something life-altering. I'm not passing anything. Seek professional help in Das Torah. Lo aleinu, it happens. In general, there are so many minor infractions in life that sometimes people take such umbrage, it becomes impossible to overlook. But if we have hakaras hatov, then we will focus on all the other times that things were done right. And then we won't be a kafui tov, washing of the Das Akenim, for that one time that the ball was dropped. So the cute ending of the story is, we were in the car traveling somewhere. And again, we mentioned there's birthday coming up. And we'll have a cake. And that child said, you forgot mine. So I told over this vart. Anyway, fast forward to Leil Friday night, Leil Shishi. We had a cake for the birthday bisman. And we had a small cake for the birthday belated. So the child said, you just gave me mussar. I accepted the mussar. Now you gave me the cake. It's such a powerful lesson. There are so many times in our lives that everything, that people do things that, I don't want to say everything, people do things that are good for us. And sometimes they do things that, they're people, not angels. It doesn't say malachi kodesh to you and me. It says anshe kodesh. So Rabbi Zev Lev says that if this is a lesson about sheep and dogs, how much more so is it a lesson about the people in our lives? Maybe Yosef was a good brother, but he had two dreams. How many other dreams did he have? You never have dreams? I have a lot of dreams, crazy dreams. Does anyone else have crazy dreams? So I'm sure he had a lot of other dreams. Two dreams in 17 years. It's not so much when you think of the percentage of how many times then the dreams are dreaming of grandeur. Look, so now listen to Das Kenim again. My achar she'akelev masor nafsho ala treifa, kishaba hazev l'tarfa. He actually says, listen to his lashon. My achar she'akelev masor nafsho al ha'treifa. He doesn't say me'achar she'akelev masor nafsho al ha'seh, al ha'keves, al ha'ez. Me'achar she'akelev masor nafsho al ha'treifa. He was moser nefesh for that animal that was torn. K'sheba zev l'tarfo, lo tia kafui tova. You shall not be a kafui tov. What should you do? When you have treva, throw it to him, bischar. Make him a shomer sachir, bischar shoshamra. Ad ata, because until now he got it right. There was always a birthday cake. Every year on Friday night, he got it right. Shalom treva, he never forgot the cake. The Gamsher Ora Achayrus, and Be'ezer Hashem, in future years, we'll have a cake again. Because this is the way of the world. To my child's credit, they did say, you just gave me Musar, I accepted the Musar, why did you give me a cake? I was thinking, not only does it teach us about Akar Satov, Moshe couldn't strike the sand, or the river. Even though by the sand, his infraction was found out. So you could technically say, why should he have Hakar Satov to the sand? He had to run away for the next 60 years, according to the Ramban. 60 years, because Parah found out what he did. So the sand didn't do a very good job. There must have been some evidence. But nevertheless, he can strike those elements. And we have to have Hakar Satov to a dog. Even when it failed its job. You still have to show Hakar Satov. Lo tia kafui tova. How much more, says Rabbi Zev Lev, to people. We have to be makir tov to people. And I'm going to suggest how much more so. Kal v'chomer, ben benosh al kal v'chomer. L'malach malchem v'achem akash baruch hu. We all have challenges in life. As Rav says, I quote it often, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. We all have challenges in life, because that's the nature of life. And it seems to be human tendency to focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Just like Adam, who focused on what he could not have. Just like Cain, who focused on God turning to Hevel and not what he had. Just like Yosef and the brothers, who focused on what they didn't have, the Ksonis Pashim, instead of what they did have, brotherhood. Just like the shepherd, who might focus on the one trefa instead of the 99 other sheep who were saved. Just like we must focus on what our friends do good for us. By the way, the birthday cake story is a true story, and it's not a long time ago story. It was sometimes within this past year. And I was thinking to myself, it's a big mussar for us vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because sometimes it's a challenge in this world to hold on to our amuna. As I'll say, I forget where, that as the doros go on, closer to the time of Mashiach, amunah is like holding onto a rope that's swinging wildly. It's like you're holding onto a rope that's swinging wildly. It's not easy to hold onto a rope that's swinging wildly. You need very strong muscles. You need a strong torso. You need a lot of strength. And how long could you hold onto the rope that's swinging wildly? How long? For a few minutes? For an hour? For a day? How long? Not so long. It takes all your reservoirs of strength to hold on to the rope. But so many times there's so much good in our lives. The majority of times there's so much good in our lives. The gift of being able to see. The gift of being able to breathe. The gift of being able to get off the bed. The gift of being able to walk with your own two feet. The gift of being able to use the facilities in a healthy fashion. Over the past couple of weeks, we have my family and are in a certain whatever, spending time being mevaker chola in a certain hospital to a certain patient. And we shouldn't need these kind of reminders to remind us, lo tia kafui tova. Sometimes, Rechmana Letzlan, we don't understand why there's basar basada trefa. Don't understand why 6 and 8 year old two brothers, a family buries one brother on an Erev Shabbos and the other brother on Motzei Shabbos. We don't understand why the father sedated and ventilated. Life hanging in balance. We don't understand why Alter Shlomer Letterman, 20 years old, who is a chatan, a newly chasen, married, going to his parents' house for Shabbos, is plowed over. And sometimes there's basar basada trefa. And it's very, very, very difficult. A number of people sent me, but I have not had time to watch. Miriam Peretz went to be Menachem Avil, Mrs. Paley. And we don't understand these times. These karbanos, these trefos. Taraf, taraf, b'ni. Chaya ra'ach l'su. Vayima'en lihinachem. Vayomer ki ered al b'ni aval sha'ola. So how could we get through this world? How could we get through this life? This is just one matzav. What about Neve Yaakov? 3 weeks ago. What about last spring after the p'tir of Chaim Kanievsky's atzal? We're coming up to his yurtzeit. There was multiple attacks repeatedly in different cities. So we do see many situations where we don't understand. And the psalmist promises us, Hinei lo yanu v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael kuf chaf alev. The guardian of Israel does not sleep, does not slumber. Havdil, the sheepdog, doesn't sleep and doesn't slumber. Sometimes to our eyes, from our perspective, we don't understand. If you are the Lo Yanum and Lo Yishan, how could such things happen? There are no answers to that. But what about from our perspective? How many Jews last Erev Shabbos made it home safely from the bus stops? Probably hundreds and probably thousands between the light rail and the trains and the cars and the buses. I am not in any way, shape, or form minimizing at all, I'm sure you know me by now, the magnitude and the pain and the horror of the tzara. I don't know if anybody saw the video, a Gaon Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, Shlita went to be Menachem Avil, the Paley family. Did anyone see it? And he could not go up, I guess, due to his elderly age. So the family came down to the car, and he was Menachem Avil. First he spoke to the boys, the brothers. Then the mother, Mrs. Paley, came to the car, and he spoke to her. And he was sobbing. Of Ezrachi, he couldn't even talk. He was just sobbing. Amakom Menachem, your pain is our pain. The father should have a full shlema, was in Ivrit. Sobbing. We can't understand. And the only way to get through this world, to hold on to this rope that is wildly swinging, is to at the same time that we mourn and we cry and we daven and we're bewildered, we have to also focus on the good. As if we don't also focus on the good, we will be totally lost. Sometimes we wait for a birthday cake and it doesn't come. And we look at the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say, what? I don't matter to you anymore? I'm not your child, the child said. I feel like I was left out of the family. And we say, Hashem, what? How come there's no cake? Did you forget about me? Am I not your child? Am I not your son or your daughter anymore? Do you not love me? And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you don't understand my ways, but what about all the other times that you had the birthday cake? That life is good. That you can take in air with your lungs. You're not on a ventilator, you're not on a trach, you could breathe, you could speak, you could see, you could walk. Your facilities work properly, your faculties work. You have food in your home. You have an intellect and a mind. The sorrows threaten to overwhelm us and inundate us with pain. Because as long as a Malik is in this world, Mechama Lashem Ba Malik Dor Dor. Mechama is from the word Lechem. A Malik comes to consume us like bread. Mechama and Lechem, it's the same Shoresh. They come to consume us like bread. And the pain is so staggering. Of Salvechik tells over in a different sefer that there was, I forget how you pronounce his name, and I don't say it right. Chaycho, you know what I'm talking about? The communist leader. Nicholas Chaycho. I'm saying it wrong, I know. You don't even know what I'm saying. Okay, fine. Fine. If you know what I'm saying on Zoom, type it in the chat. Anyway, he was speaking to Anwar Sadat, I believe. And they were talking about the Jewish state. And one of them said to the other, the Jews will never win the war. I don't mean an immediate war. I mean, over the long term, the Jews will never win. So the other said to the first one, why not? So he pulled a newspaper, a Hebrew newspaper. I don't know if it was Ma'ariv, Yediot Achronot, out of the drawer. And on the front page of that day's edition was the face of a soldier. He said, they will never win. Because a nation that mourns over every single soldier as if he is the whole world will never be able to win. Because, of course, it's not true. But it shows you what their perspective and what our perspective. We know that kolamatzu nefesh achas Israel ki'ilu hitzu olam mali. And every time there's another tragedy, rachmana litzlan, dayenu, misha amar day le'olam, yomar day litzaratenu, shalosha katati minu urai. It's like the pain all over again, and the shock all over again, and the bewilderment and the questions all over again. And if we want to hold on to the rope of emuna, then we have to focus on the good also. Because otherwise there's no way. Then otherwise you look at Hashem and you say, you have abandoned us. You've forgotten about us. You don't love us. I'm out of the family. How come I didn't get a cake? My achasha kel of masor nafsho ala trefa kishabaha ze'ev letarfo lo tia kafui tova kenegdo kishiyalach ha'trefa shetashlicheyo elav bischar shashamra ad ata. Until now he's been guarding you. Shalom etreifa, you weren't torn. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, we're still here. It's the greatest miracle in the history of the whole world. V'gam shomer or ha'acheros. And Yidden all over there, all over, will be guarded in the future also. Constantly, every day, every moment, every time you arrive somewhere safely. That's because Hashem brought you there safely. Kikein derech ha'olam. Amir Kalavim Lishmar Tsan Min Hazaivim. The pain, when it's so immense, so bewildering, so intense, the only way to hold on to the rope is to learn that gratitude is a basic virtue in Judaism. And whoever proves to be an ingrate is punished. Mr. Arnold Tumim last Shabbos told me a very, very beautiful Dvar Torah. You know, Mrs. Bluma Drabin, the principal at SKA. So her parents, Shayich, you live with her. And I got to show Mr. Tumim, her father, Shlita, always has a beautiful Dvar Torah to tell me. He's many decades my senior at Admeiv Esrim Shana. He always has a beautiful Dvar Torah to tell me. So he told me a word on Parshas Beshalach. Nikolai Ceausescu, yeah. Nikolai Ceausescu. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rachi Fried. Yes. So he told me a beautiful Dvar Torah. In last week's Parsha, Parsha's Beshalach. I was in Shul this Parsha, which was the Zishra, the Shabbos for Beshalach. B'nai Yisrael confront two enemies. In the beginning of the Sedra, they confront Mitzrayim on the shore of the Reed Sea. And at the end of the Sedra, they confront Amalek. And their responses could not be more different. There are 600 chariots. There's 2 million Yidden. There's 600 chariots, and they're freaking out. Why do you take us out of Egypt? Isn't this what we told you? We're better to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. What are we going to do? And Moshe says, just stand by. You'll see the salvation of God he'll do for you today. Just like you see the Egyptians now, you'll never see them again. And then when it comes to Amalek, a couple of weeks later, Bechar lanu anashim v'tzei hilachem ba'amalek. It's the same people? 600 chariots and riders you can't conquer, but a whole nation of Amalek? You can go out and fight? So clearly they could fight. So if they could fight by Amalek, why couldn't they fight? I know so some people are going to say Stockholm Syndrome. It's a different Dvar Torah. Why couldn't they fight by the Egyptians? Think of the fraction of how many the Egyptians were compared to 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. It's laughable. The percentage is laughable. How come they couldn't fight if they could fight Amalek? So Mr. Tumim, he wasn't sure, or I didn't hear, he wasn't sure who he was quoting, but he was quoting somebody. He always has a beautiful Dvar Torah for me. The Egyptians, because of Hakaros HaTov, the people felt they could not fight them back. Because they gave them lodging for 210 years in their land, they couldn't fight them back. So therefore they said, Hashem, we are Meshubed to Hakaros HaTov. And therefore, we cannot attack them. Therefore, it's up to you. There's nothing for us to do. But when it came to Amalek, They had no chiyuv of a karas hatov, and therefore they were able to go out and fight. And if this sounds a little strange to you, look up Devarim, which I don't have time to quote for you inside, but look up Devarim Chaf Gimel Ches with Rashi. Go look at Devarim 23:8 with Rashi. Look what Rashi says about why we cannot antagonize the Egyptians. Because Rashi says they gave us Achsanya. Achsanya? They gave us the Nile River. They gave us backbreaking labor. They whipped our backs. They gave us mortar and bricks. They gave us Achsanya? Go look at Rashi. Devarim 23. I don't have time to open up and read it to you inside. It's 10:30. So when it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yidden said, we're powerless. Not because physically we can't fight, but look at the extent that Akaras HaTov goes to. Because we're Makir Tov, and in a time of famine, they let us come to their land. They settled us in Goshen. We had food to eat. We survived because of the Egyptians. I know because of God. We cannot fight. Therefore, we don't know what to do. But by Amalek, they had no such chiyuv. And therefore, they were able to fight. Such is the extent that we must go to show Akaras HaTov. And if we have to show Akaras HaTov to the Nilus River and the sand of Egypt and the sheepdog and Egyptians and our friends, how much more so Kal v'chomer, Ben Beno, Shal Kal v'chomer, to the Melech Machayim, Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kol Yachol, the Ein Sof, the Tova HaMetiv. When did they compose the Bracha of a Tova HaMetiv? The Haruge Beitar. Is that a reason to give thanks to God? That the bodies didn't decompose? And they were able to bury them. If there's something good, focus on it. Because otherwise, you will lose yourself and fall off of the rope. And your amuna will be shattered. Lo tir kafui tova kenegdo. If you're in District 15, go vote for Shalamis. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody.